You are listening to WPR Wrestling Public Radio, Episode 6. Hello, and welcome to Wrestling Public Radio, the podcast for wrestling fans who don't like loud noises. I'm your host, Crystal Schmidt, and I want to thank you all for your continued listenership and support. On today's first of a two-part series, we're going to learn about one of the most unsettling, yet beloved, currently active wrestling superstars. He's had the whole world in his hands and been the patriarch of a family before entering his 30s. He's terrifying and lovable all at once, and he is best known as Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was born Wyndham Lawrence Rotunda on May 23, 1987, in the Tampa suburb of Brooksville, Florida. He and his brother are third-generation professional wrestlers, following in the footsteps of their grandfather, Blackjack Mulligan, and father, Mike Rotunda, as well as two of their uncles, Barry and Kendall Wyndham. His brother is probably best known under his ring name, Bo Dallas. Rotunda attended Hernando High School, where he won a state wrestling championship in 2005, his senior year. He also played football as a defensive tackle and guard. He continued his football career at College of the Sequoias for two seasons and earned a football scholarship to Troy University, where he played for another 2 years. He left college before earning his bachelor's degree when he decided to become a wrestler. Rotunda made his in-ring debut in a dark match episode of FCW Florida Championship Wrestling in February 2009. FCW was a WWE developmental territory, which was later rebranded as NXT. He made his TV debut in April of 2009 under the ring name Alex Rotunda, but later changed his name to Duke Rotundo. In June 2009, Rotunda and his brother began working as a tag team under FCW. Their team, called the Rotundo Brothers, won the organization's tag team championship once during this run in FCW. On June 2, 2010, Rotunda joined WWE NXT under the ring name Husky Harris. At this time, NXT was presented as a hybrid between WWE's scripted live event shows and reality television, in which talent from WWE's developmental territory FCW participated in a competition to become WWE's next breakout star, with help from members of WWE's Raw and SmackDown brands who acted as mentors. The mentor for Husky Harris on NXT in 2010 was Cody Rhodes, but he was eliminated before the finale. Rotunda wrestled on WWE's main roster from 2010 to 2011 under the ring name Husky Harris, most notably as a member of The Nexus. At the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view on October 4, 2010, Husky Harris and Michael McGillicuddy, more well known as Curtis Axel, interfered in a match between John Cena and Wade Barrett, and helped Barrett win, forcing Cena to join Barrett's faction, the Nexus, per their pre-match stipulation. Although Barrett claimed he hadn't asked for their help and initially refused to make them full-time members of the Nexus, both Husky Harris and Michael McGillicuddy were eventually inducted into the Nexus. In January 2011, the subject of the last episode of Wrestling Public Radio, CM Punk, took over the Nexus and had each of its members put through an initiation process. Husky Harris passed his initiation, which was a lashing from the rest of the group. On the January 31st episode of Monday Night Raw, Harris and McGillicuddy unsuccessfully challenged Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov for the WWE Tag Team Championship, after which Randy Orton attacked the duo as part of his rivalry with the Nexus, and punted Harris in the head, which was used to write Husky Harris off television. Rotunda returned to WWE's FCW developmental territory, and in March 2011 adopted the gimmick of the hockey mask-wearing Axel Mulligan, although the character never made it to FCW TV, and Rotunda instead continued to use the Husky Harris character for television. In August 2011, Harris became embroiled in his brother Bo's feud with Lucky Cannon and Damian Sandow. Bo was the FCW Florida heavyweight champion at the time. The two brothers would later team up to defeat Cannon and Sandow in a tag team match. Bo suffered an injury, which caused him to vacate his title. A tournament was set up to determine a new champ, during which Harris defeated Biggie Langston to make it to the finals, a fatal four-way match against Dean Ambrose, Leo Kruger, and Damian Sandow. Harris lost after Richie Steamboat, who was at ringside aiming for Ambrose, performed a superkick on Harris instead. Harris later won a triple threat match against Ambrose and Sandow to earn a match for the FCW Florida Heavyweight Championship against Kruger, which Harris lost when he was distracted with Steamboat's interference yet again. As a result, Harris and Steamboat began feuding, which eventually resulted in them both being suspended for 30 days. Upon their return, Harris defeated Steamboat in a bull rope match to end their feud. On February 2, 2012, Harris and Bo Rotundo defeated Brad Maddox and Eli Cottonwood to win the vacant FCW Florida Tag Team Championship for the second time. In April 2012, Rotundo was repackaged as a new character named Bray Wyatt, who initially associated himself with Eli Cottonwood in FCW. When WWE rebranded FCW into NXT Wrestling as we know it today, Bray Wyatt debuted on the July 11th episode of NXT, where he defeated Aiden English. In July, Wyatt suffered a torn pectoral muscle, which required surgery. Despite the injury, he continued to appear on NXT, founding a faction known as the Wyatt Family in November 2012. With Luke Harper as his first son and Eric Rowan as his second. An interesting fact, during the early process of creation of the Wyatt family, Baron Corbin and Judas Devlin were considered for inclusion in the stable. Judas Devlin might be recognizable to AEW fans today as Luchasaurus. Wyatt had his first match after recovering from his injury on the February 21st, 2013 episode of NXT, where he defeated Yoshitatsu. Wyatt suffered his first loss on the March 13th episode of NXT to his brother, Bo Dallas. On May 8th, Harper and Rowan won the NXT Tag Team Championship, and the Wyatt family began a feud with Corey Graves and Cassius Ohno, who is probably better known as Chris Hero, who had a significant role in the last episode of Wrestling Public Radio. Bray Wyatt defeated Corey Graves on May 22nd, and the following week, Wyatt eliminated both Graves and Ohno during an 18-man battle royal to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship, although he himself was eliminated by Neville later in that same match. On the July 17th episode of NXT, which had been taped on June 20th, Harper and Rowan lost the NXT Tag Team Championship to Neville and Graves. Beginning in late May of 2013, WWE began airing vignettes during Monday Night Raw, promoting the upcoming debut of The Wyatt Family. The vignettes showed the Wyatt family's backwoods origins and Eric Rowan wearing a sheep mask. On the July 8th episode of Raw, the Wyatt family made their debut by assaulting Kane. They would continue their attacks on the main roster while sending cryptic messages to Kane asking him to follow the buzzards. Following yet another assault, Kane challenged Wyatt to a Ring of Fire match at SummerSlam on August 18, 2013, which Wyatt won following interference from Harper and Rowan. After the match, Harper and Rowan again attacked Kane, carrying him away. Soon after, the Wyatt family began feuding with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan in late October 2013. This led to Punk and Bryan defeating Harper and Rowan at Survivor Series on November 24th. The Wyatt family continued their feud with Daniel Bryan as Bray Wyatt attempted to recruit him, and the Wyatt family defeated Bryan in a handicap match at TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, on December 15th. On the final episode of Monday Night Raw of 2013, Bryan defeated Harper and Rowan in a gauntlet match so that he could then face Bray Wyatt, during which Harper and Rowan interfered for a disqualification and attacked Daniel Bryan until he grew frustrated to the point where he gave in and joined the Wyatt family. However, after Daniel Bryan joined the family, they had lost their success. This caused Wyatt to punish Bryan, which led to Bryan attacking all of the other members of the Wyatt family on the January 13th episode of Raw, which signified his departure from the group. At Royal Rumble on January 26th, Wyatt defeated Bryan. Later that same evening, the Wyatt family cost John Cena his WWE World Heavyweight Championship match against Randy Orton, with the Wyatt family continuing to attack Cena after the match. The Wyatt family's reign of terror would not end there. On January 27th on Raw, they attacked Bryan, Cena, and Sheamus during an Elimination Chamber qualifying match against The Shield, which was a stable consisting of Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins. As a result, Bryan's team won by disqualification, and The Shield lost a chance to enter the Elimination Chamber match. A six-man match was instead set up between The Shield and the Wyatt family at the event on February 23rd, which the Wyatt family won. They later interfered in the Elimination Chamber match that night, leading to Cena's elimination. As a result of their actions during the pay-per-view, Bray Wyatt began a feud with John Cena. It revolved heavily around Wyatt's desire to prove that Cena's heroic acts were a facade characteristic of his era of lies, while simultaneously trying to turn Cena into a monster. Wyatt accepted Cena's challenge to a WrestleMania match, with Cena successfully resisting the urge to become a monster and overcoming interference by Harper and Rowan to defeat Wyatt at WrestleMania 30 in April of 2014. The feud with John Cena would continue after WrestleMania based on the story that Wyatt was capturing Cena's fan base, as was exemplified by Wyatt leading a children's choir to the ring on April 28th on Raw, with the children later putting on sheep masks. This feud would continue through the 2014 Money in the Bank ladder match for the vacant WWE World Heavyweight title, in which John Cena defeated Bray Wyatt. After this, vignettes were shown of Bray Wyatt setting Harper and Rowan free. For the remainder of 2014, a solo Bray Wyatt would torment Chris Jericho, followed by Dean Ambrose. At Royal Rumble on January 25th, 2015, Wyatt competed in the Royal Rumble match, entering at number 5 and lasting almost 47 minutes. He was eliminated by Big Show and Kane. Following the Royal Rumble, Wyatt began a series of cryptic promos referring to himself as the New Face of Fear. At the Fastlane pay-per-view, Wyatt emerged from a casket and challenged The Undertaker to a match at WrestleMania 31, which Undertaker accepted. However, Bray Wyatt was unsuccessful in defeating him. Following WrestleMania 31, Wyatt launched another series of enigmatic promos, which were revealed to be directed at Ryback on the April 27th episode of Raw, when Wyatt attacked Ryback following his match with Bo Dallas. On the following episode of SmackDown, Wyatt again attacked Ryback after his match. Wyatt won their subsequent match at the Payback pay-per-view. In June of 2015, at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, Bray Wyatt interfered in the Money in the Bank ladder match and attacked Roman Reigns, who was close to retrieving the briefcase suspended above the center of the ring. This led to a match between the two at the Battleground pay-per-view on July 19th, where Wyatt defeated Reigns with the help of former Wyatt family member Luke Harper, thus reforming the team with the exception of an injured Eric Rowan, who would later rejoin the group. At the SummerSlam pay-per-view on August 23, 2015, Wyatt and Harper lost to Reigns and Ambrose. The following night on Raw, Wyatt introduced a new Wyatt family member named Braun Strowman, who attacked both Ambrose and Reigns. At the Night of Champions pay-per-view on September 20th, the Wyatt family defeated Reigns, Ambrose, and Jericho in a six-man tag team match. At Hell in a Cell on October 25th, after Wyatt was defeated by Reigns in a Hell in a Cell match to end their feud, the Wyatt family attacked The Undertaker and carried him backstage, reigniting their feud. The next night on Raw, Wyatt was confronted by former rival Kane, who was attacked by the Wyatts previously and also carried backstage. On the November 9th episode of Raw, the Brothers of Destruction, consisting of Undertaker and Kane, returned and attacked the Wyatt family. At Survivor Series a couple weeks later, Wyatt and Harper lost to the Brothers of Destruction. The Wyatt family would continue on this path of instigating seemingly everyone around them until the 2016 WWE draft split Braun Strowman off from the faction to join Raw, while Wyatt and Rowan were drafted by SmackDown. On the August 16th episode of SmackDown, Wyatt walked away from Rowan after he lost his match against Dean Ambrose, leaving Rowan's sheep mask on Wyatt's rocking chair. Wyatt then went on to confront Randy Orton, who he called damaged. The two were scheduled to have a match at Backlash on September 11th, 2016, but Wyatt attacked Orton before the match, therefore winning by Orton's forfeit. Wyatt then faced Kane in a no-holds-barred match, which he lost when Orton interfered. Orton then challenged Wyatt to another match at No Mercy on October 9th, which Wyatt accepted and won with the help of the returning Luke Harper. On the October 25th episode of SmackDown, Orton interfered during Bray Wyatt's match against Kane, but he was now acting on behalf of Wyatt and subsequently joined the Wyatt family. Wyatt and Orton would move on to win the SmackDown Tag Team Championship from Heath Slater and Rhino at the TLC pay-per-view in December 2016, but under the Freebird rule, which allows any two of the three members of a tag team to defend the title on any given night, Randy Orton and Luke Harper lost the title to American Alpha, which consisted of Chad Gable and Jason Jordan. This started a conflict between Orton and Harper, who faced each other on the January 14th, 2017 episode of SmackDown, which Orton won, leading Wyatt to deliver his signature move, Sister Abigail, upon Harper and effectively exile him from the Wyatt family. On January 29th, 2017, Wyatt entered the Royal Rumble match as the 21st participant and lasted until the final three, along with Randy Orton and Roman Reigns. Wyatt and Orton cooperated to try to eliminate Reigns, but Wyatt wound up eliminated by Reigns instead. Orton would eliminate Reigns to win the match, which guaranteed him a title match at WrestleMania. On February 12, 2017, at Elimination Chamber, Wyatt won the WWE Championship after defeating John Cena, AJ Styles, The Miz, Dean Ambrose, and Baron Corbin in the Elimination Chamber match. This was the first singles title in Wyatt's wrestling career. With Bray Wyatt holding the WWE Championship, it raised a strong possibility of Randy Orton challenging the Wyatt family patriarch at WrestleMania. However, on the following SmackDown, after Wyatt successfully defended his title in a triple threat match, Orton pledged allegiance to Wyatt and refused to face him at WrestleMania 33. This would later prove to be a ruse, as Randy Orton destroyed the Wyatt family compound 2 weeks later, setting fire to everything, including Bray's fictional sister Abigail's grave. Orton defeated Wyatt for the title at WrestleMania 33 on April 2, 2017. On April 10th, Wyatt was moved to Raw as part of the Superstar Shakeup. Wyatt's title rematch at Payback, billed as a House of Horrors match, was changed to a non-title match. The House of Horrors match didn't exactly go over well with fans, although if one doesn't take wrestling too seriously, you might find some entertainment in it. The fight was pre-recorded in a house that was allegedly haunted and decorated with assorted effigies and dolls hanging from the ceiling. Wyatt defeated Orton after being helped by Jinder Mahal. To break a bit from this very involved wrestling career, I'd like to introduce some side commentary on just the sort of character Bray Wyatt had developed into. Bray Wyatt has been responsible for vignettes that gave off strong vibes of the Yellow King before HBO introduced the unnerving subject to us in True Detective Season 1. If Carcosa was the backwoods Louisiana temple of the Yellow King, then Bray Wyatt's family compound was the Yellow King's summer vacation home set in the foreground. One could absolutely posit that the portly southern patriarch of the Wyatt family may have eventually grown to become the Yellow King. At the same time, Bray Wyatt was incorporating some incredibly interesting styling into his gimmick, frequently wearing a Hawaiian shirt, relaxed-fit white pants, and a fedora. He would enter a dark arena carrying a lantern, while the crowd would turn on the flashlights on their cell phones to reflect all of Bray's little fireflies. The Hawaiian shirt gimmick is best explained in two layers. The first being that Martin Scorsese made a film in 1991 called Cape Fear. In this movie, Robert De Niro plays a character named Max Cady, who had several tattoos and wore Hawaiian shirts. But it wasn't just that alone. The second layer brings us to former wrestler Dan Spivey, who created a character based off of Max Cady in the 90s called Waylon Mercy. And that was the inspiration for Bray Wyatt. Now, you might be wondering why such a short-lived character like Waylon Mercy would be the inspiration for one of the greatest wrestling gimmicks of all time. As I mentioned earlier, Bray's dad, Mike Rotunda, was a professional wrestler. In the 80s, Mike was in a WWF tag team with his brother-in-law, Barry Windham, called the US Express. When Barry left the WWF, he was replaced by Dan Spivey to tag with Mike Rotunda under the name The American Express. It wouldn't be until years later, in 1995, when Spivey would rejoin WWF, that the Waylon Mercy character would debut. The character was introduced through a series of vignettes that always had him speaking in a calm yet sinister manner. In the final vignette before premiering the character in-ring, he predicted that soon, lives are going to be in Waylon Mercy's hands. An early vignette from Bray Wyatt is very similarly inspired by Robert De Niro's Max Cady character from Cape Fear, which, when you take a step back, you realize is also inspired by his dad's friend Dan Spivey's Waylon Mercy promos. Bray even adopted the song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," for his gimmick, a nod to the quote, "Lives are gonna be in Waylon Mercy's hands." At Extreme Rules in June of 2017, Wyatt failed to become number one contender for the Universal Championship in a fatal five-way match. After Seth Rollins was unveiled on the cover of WWE 2K18, Wyatt began targeting him and defeated him both at Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view in July and again on the following Raw. Yes, you heard that correctly. We were given a pay-per-view called Great Balls of Fire in the modern WWE era. In the weeks after, Wyatt began a feud with Finn Balor, resulting in a match between the two at SummerSlam in August of 2017. Balor, under his Demon King persona, defeated Bray Wyatt. He defeated Wyatt again at No Mercy the following month. The two were slotted to face one another a third time at TLC in October, but Wyatt was unable to compete due to an illness concern and was replaced in the match by AJ Styles, bringing the feud between Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor to an anticlimactic end. Wyatt returned to TV on the November 13, 2017 episode of Raw. That same month, Bray Wyatt began a feud with Matt Hardy after defeating him in a match, which resulted in Matt Hardy's broken gimmick emerging. The two fought again during Raw 25 Years in January 2018, where Wyatt was victorious yet again. On January 28th, Wyatt entered the Royal Rumble match at number 8, but failed to win the match after Wyatt and Hardy eliminated one another simultaneously. Their feud would continue through Elimination Chamber in February, where Wyatt was defeated by Hardy, and into the March 19th episode of Raw, where Hardy defeated Wyatt again in an Ultimate Deletion match. Following the match, Hardy pushed Wyatt into the Lake of Reincarnation, where Wyatt disappeared, making his status unknown. The Ultimate Deletion match was an avant-garde masterpiece. I'd like to hold off on going too far into detail regarding this match, though, because it was the brainchild of Matt Hardy, and there will undoubtedly be an episode, or even multiple episodes, devoted to the legend. At WrestleMania 34 in April of 2018, Bray Wyatt returned, and turned from a heel to a face for the first time in his WWE career, after he interfered in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, helping Matt Hardy win. They subsequently formed a tag team and won the vacant Raw Tag Team Championship on April 27th at the Greatest Royal Rumble pay-per-view, which is not to be confused with the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. There's been some really questionable naming of events recently. The appropriately named Deleters of Worlds tag team of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy brought together Matt Hardy's Delete and Bray Wyatt's Eater of Worlds gimmicks. The tag team had a match at Extreme Rules against the tag team known as B-Team, which consisted of Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, who is Bray's brother in real life. Before the pay-per-view, B-Team came out dressed as the Deleters of Worlds and cut a promo making fun of them. The impressions were simply delightful. They were then interrupted by Bray and Matt Hardy in a pre-recorded promo that played on the Jumbotron, and then the Deleters of Worlds appeared in the ring as soon as the video cut out. I remember when Bo Dallas was doing his Bo Leave gimmick, and friends and I were saying how much we would love to see Bo do a Bray Wyatt impersonation, because it would have to be spot on. He delivered finally in 2018, and for that I will always be grateful. Sadly, for the Deleters of Worlds, Wyatt and Hardy were defeated by the B-Team at Extreme Rules, and lost the tag team titles. The Deleters of Worlds invoked their rematch clause against the B-Team on the July 23rd episode of Raw, but were again unsuccessful in their attempt to reacquire the titles. Soon after, Matt Hardy took some time off to heal from injuries, effectively disbanding the tag team. Bray Wyatt also took a hiatus following this match, but he would be back with a new gimmick, somehow even more sinister than his current one. We're going to spare this new venture for the next episode of Wrestling Public Radio, as I believe that Bray Wyatt has already lived several lifetimes in WWE, and I want to invest the right amount of time to these characters and to allow you all to process each part of his career accordingly. As always, I want to thank you all for joining me today as we caught a glimpse into the genius of Bray Wyatt. Please join me in 2 weeks for part 2 of Bray Wyatt, where we bring things up to where Bray is at today. In the meantime, you can access updates and additional content about all episodes on Twitter at WPR Media, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Wrestling Public Radio. This is Crystal Schmidt signing off for Wrestling Public Radio. Thank you.